Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verse 31. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. The Bible says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Again, this chapter mentions so many people that if you and I were writing the Bible, we wouldn't include some of the people that God included in chapter 11. I don't know if I'd stick Samson in there. I surely wouldn't stick Rahab in there. But yet, God put them in there for a reason. We can learn something from them. And here, just one verse tucked away, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." I want to talk to you tonight on this particular area of faith, and that's the salvation of faith. The salvation of faith. This will be a very, simple type message. Usually your Sunday night crowd is basically saved folks, and once in a while you get folks that aren't saved, but tonight will just be more or less a salvation type message. So a lot of stuff you've already heard, but God wants me to preach it, so He wants you to hear it. Got a couple out of it. It's a blessing having the couple that visited this morning. They actually wrote on their visitor's card they came to visit today because they saw the road sign out on the street. So we've had a couple of them recently. So maybe if we get them bigger, we'll double the visitors coming to church. If that's the case, I would get one the size of a billboard and stick it out there. But we praise God for the signs doing their job of pointing people in the right direction. And Brother Ross, I used to get on them all the time. Signs are leaning over. The signs are bending. The signs are leaning over. He just took the bad boys and bolted them to the telephone poles. And so now they're not going anywhere. So praise God for that. I'm not sure if they enjoyed it or not. They were pretty expressionless the whole message, and they left right away, which around here, that's a good sign. That means they're going to join and become tithing strong members. Because of all the folks say, "Man, we absolutely loved your services," we never see them again. And so I like the ones that kind of leave angry and don't talk, because that means there's a good chance we're going to see them back the next week. Even the black men, when they first came, they had no intention on coming back. So that's when you know they're going to stick around. That's good. It's weird. We're going to talk a little bit about Rahab tonight. I actually preached a message years ago called "When Rahab Went to Rehab." And so thankful for her getting saved. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for a church, Lord, that centers everything they do on the word of God. Lord, as we talk to so many people out there, there's so much religion and entertainment that takes place in church today, but there's not much Bible. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, just to continually ingest and digest the word of God, Lord. Give us something tonight, Lord, that will help us in our walk with you. Appreciate the great gift that you gave us, Father, in salvation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for raising from the dead 3 days later and giving us something we do not deserve, and that's salvation. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Living our lives by faith in God equips us to experience many blessings that we would never otherwise have the ability to enjoy. Faith, you can say, is the key that unlocks the bounty of God's blessings, God's provision in our lives. And we've seen this illustrated in many of the lives that we've been studying going through chapter 11 here. And yet for all of these great blessings of faith, and we've looked at many of them, faith is a wonderful, wonderful gift from God that we can have and use toward Him. But there's one blessing that I believe rises above all the other blessings. It's the one provision that is impossible to come by without a properly placed faith in God, and that's salvation. It has to come by faith. You know the verse well in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. Say it with me. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 3:28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." In the book of Luke in chapter 7, we read a story in the day of Jesus where he sat in the house of a very curious Pharisee whose name was Simon. And as they ate and were eating and talking, a sinful woman came in with an expensive alabaster box that had an expensive ointment inside of it. And she wept and she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, and she took the contents of that box and she anointed the feet of Jesus Christ with the contents of that box. The Pharisees that were there in the room were very upset that she was doing this. But Jesus told this woman that even though her life had resulted in ruin, now her sins were forgiven. Amazing. Forgiven sins. But how? Well, in that same chapter, Luke chapter 7 and verse 50, Jesus says this, and he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." The writer of Hebrews chapter 11 moves now to the life of Rahab and gives testimony of her faith. Faith, as we will go back and forth and see some different passages here, wrought many wonderful works in her life, but to the Lord, the most important and the most profound product of faith in Rahab's life is mentioned right here, her salvation. Of all the things that God had did for her, the greatest thing that he mentions all the way over a thousand years later, he mentions her salvation. Rahab was a harlot. That simply meant that Rahab sold her body to make money. She lived in the walls of the city of Jericho, the city that we talked about last week, that was destroyed because of faith. And amazingly, while faith was taking down the walls and leading Israel to the destruction of a city, faith was also hard at work trying to save souls that were in that city. It's amazing when you think about those two things taking place. Israel's faith brought down the walls, but yet Rahab's faith led to her salvation while she was in the walls. Particularly when we talk about reaching the lost and saving souls, a sin-filled woman named Rahab. You know, I'm glad that there's no asterisk towards people that God saves. God just doesn't save the good sinners. God just doesn't save the bad sinners. I was thinking of Angie's testimony about how she doesn't have that past life to talk about that some people do. And as she was sharing that, I was thinking that's exactly the same boat that I grew up in. Thank God I grew up in a godly home, that umbrella, if you will, that I talked about this morning, that protected me from not getting involved in so much of the junk that is out there in the world today. I thank God for that. And I thank God for maybe if you've had that kind of a sordid past, that now you can provide the right umbrella of protection for your family so that they don't have to experience what you experienced. Matter of fact, I forget who I was telling recently. Who was I telling that my mom used to be a belly dancer? Who was I telling that story to? Some of you ladies didn't know that. And Betty's jaw just went all the way to the ground. Well, I can remember as a kid in the living room, and my mom had her little belly dancer outfit with her little clangy things and do all that stuff for her. Love you, Mom. She's teaching your kids now. You know, from a belly dancer to a Baptist teacher.
Amen.
It's pretty much the same thing. No, not even close. Aren't you glad that God has a way of saving you and he doesn't care what your past is?
Amen.
And he can just save you, drugs or without drugs. My wife is so naive. If somebody was smoking marijuana in front of my wife, she wouldn't even know what it was. She would go, "What is that god awful smell?" She would have no idea. And I'd say, "Honey, it's Ben. It's okay." That's horrible. We have pasts and we have things that are there. But thank God, his grace cuts right through all of that junk and saves us to the uttermost. Now, what an amazing salvation we have. And here was this woman. It's not like she was hanging out with the Israelites. She was a harlot living in a pagan city. Have you exercised saving faith in your life? Do you know that you're saved? Do you enjoy and are you thankful for that faith that you put in Jesus Christ? God has provided a plan that through faith we can receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple things here. Number one, let's look at the penalty of unbelief. It says there, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not. The penalty of unbelief. Stay with me here. There's been a debate. It was a lot more heated about 10 to 15 years ago. It's not so much heated anymore in fundamentalism, but it was the debate over the word repentance. And I mean, the fundamental Baptists just basically got split right down the middle because you had one group that believed repentance is turning from sin and all this hatred for sin and hatred and all this other kind of stuff. And then you have this other group that believes repentance is very simply a change of mind. And both crowds, would lean toward the crowd that believes repentance is a change of mind, because it's what the word repentance means. It means a change of mind. They would start lying about the other crowd. Well, you don't believe that this, and you don't believe this, and that means that you believe this. And it just got so out of hand, and so much of it was just nonsense. The truth is, when every single one of us got saved, we didn't understand repentance. If we ever even used the word. We just knew we were sinners going to hell and we needed Jesus Christ. That works pretty good for me. D.L. Moody said repentance, if you have faith to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you repented. They're two sides of a coin. It's the same thing. And they argue and they go back and forth. And, you know, salvation requires an antithesis, if you will. Otherwise, it's not really salvation at all. The opposite, if you will, or the enemy of faith is not faith, it's unbelief. When we think of what sin sends us to hell, it's the sin of unbelief. You can be an alcoholic and still get saved and go to heaven. You cannot be an unbeliever and go to heaven. So it's the sin of unbelief that is what condemns us, if you will, to hell. So the opposite of faith would be unbelief. Now, we can choose unbelief. There are people who say, I'm not interested. I'd rather not believe that or not have belief in that. But understand, unbelief bears a penalty. Let me illustrate that. If I choose not to believe in gravity and jump off of the 8th Street Bridge, my unbelief will have a consequence. There'll be a payment. Our passage tells us that Rahab perished not with them that believed not. In Jericho, there was a penalty for not believing God and the testimony of His power. That penalty was destruction from God. And all those that choose to not believe Jesus Christ, look, they can say there's not a God, there's not a hell, the Bible's not real. They can choose to have that unbelief, but their choice will bring about a consequence. Whether they like it or not. The first thing we see here when we talk about this unbelief, the penalty of unbelief, we see this situation. Go back to Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2. And look at verse number 1. Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. The spies told Rahab what God was about to do. Look at Rahab's response down in verse number 9. Verse 8, before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She understood this. Rahab knew. She understood the whole situation. The spies come and this is what we're going to do. She understood the situation was bleak. She knew destruction was coming. But Rahab had heard of Jehovah and believed that He was the true God. It's amazing what the Word of God will do if you and I would just trust it. It's amazing what God can do if we would just trust Him. I mean, sometimes, you know, some Christians, the way they handle salvation and soul winning, it bugs me. As if God needs us to do it a specific way. Here's the thing, just get the Word of God out there.
Yeah.
You don't need a PhD, that stands for post hole digger anyway. And Ben has one of those, Raymer has one of those, so anybody can have it. Hey, just take the Word of God and share it. Even Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians 2. It's not about men's wisdom. It's not about enticing words. It's about the power of God. That's what it takes. And, you know, we want to make sure, you know, say this and say it this way and say it that way and do it that way. And I understand getting it polished, and I think I'm a pretty polished soul winner. But the truth is, hey, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. You're lost in your sin, and you need what He has. Get saved! She understood God was the true God. The Bible doesn't say she had a copy of the Word of God. The Bible doesn't say soul winners came into Jericho. She heard what God was doing, and she believed that He was the true God. I believe that that community could hear about what God is doing in the lives of the people at Harvest Baptist Church. They might get a little bit interested about what's going on. This caused her to respond to the spies in faith, and because of her faith, God saved her. But not everyone was saved. Jericho, we know, was destroyed and would not be built again for over 500 years. Why was the situation so bad? Well, because there was a standard. God was judging the city of Jericho for rejecting Him. Jericho was known, as you study it historically, to participate in many of the pagan and heathen practices that were common among the people of Canaan. God's standard is holiness. God requires it. God's stand is perfection. And the problem is that every one of us, every city, every human being has fallen short of that standard. We know the verse very well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sin there simply means to miss the mark or come short of the mark. It was used as a bowman would shoot his arrow into the target. It didn't go to the left or to the right. It fell short every time. And it took Jesus Christ to build that bridge through His death and burial and resurrection for you and I to get saved. And so God looked at Jericho and He said, ye are found wanting, ye are short, you are going against everything that I'm talking about. That's why I don't believe that God has spared a lot of the nations from the past. That's why there's no more Sodom and Gomorrah and many other ones. We talk about the churches in the Bible. There is no church of Corinth in active today, in action today. All the churches that were listed in Revelation, they're not around today. We don't find many churches in the Bible that we could say, let's be like them. Because they all went the way of the world and got destroyed and no longer ran. We hear 4,000 churches a year or a month, I think, are closing their doors. 1,500 pastors a month step out and quit the ministry. We don't want to talk about how many Christians that are in church quit going to church or become inactive and just become pew sitters. I call them Catholic Christians. They do their one service a week and they fulfill their responsibility and off they go. Jericho had fallen short, and you and I have fallen short as well. Then there's a separation. You know the verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. In Ezekiel 18:20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. There's nothing that can bridge that gap. Some try good works while others try performing a religion. That doesn't build that bridge. There's still a separation. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. If I committed murder and admitted to it, confessed to it, and then I went in and tried to talk to the judge into letting me go based on my list of good deeds and honorable conduct in the past, that wouldn't work. I'd still be guilty of murder. My lifetime of good deeds can't erase the wrong that I had done. Folks, that's the same way it is with God. When people try to tell you, well, I do good. Yeah, but your good doesn't erase your bad. Nor does your good outweigh your bad. God judges your good and your bad. And so when a person has the audacity and the arrogance to say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Hey, pretty good doesn't get you into heaven. Good doesn't even get you into heaven. Great doesn't even get you into heaven. Perfect gets you into heaven. And the only reason why you and I are viewed as perfect is not because of our good deeds, but because of his righteousness.
Amen.
God doesn't allow us to get into heaven because of our righteousness, because our righteousness is just a bunch of filthy rags. God lets us into heaven because when he looks at me, he doesn't see Guy Beaumont, he sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm wearing the robe of righteousness. That's how I get into heaven, because of his imputed righteousness, not because of my own.
Right.
It's like trying to go to Hawaii without help. You can jump all you want, you're not going to make it. And I don't care how good of a swimmer you are, you ain't swimming to Hawaii. You require assistance, you require help. A way must be prepared for me by another. Build a bridge, build a vessel, build a plane. Something has to happen, but I need help to get to that destination. The penalty of unbelief. Boy, theologians and preachers and many Christians, they want to argue semantics and words. The bottom line is, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are lost. You can throw away and throw out whatever word you want to use and try to sound all spiritually intellectual. But you know what? The Bible's not written for the theologian. The Bible's written for the common man. Thank God, or otherwise I wouldn't be able to understand it. I like it nice and simple. I like the peanut butter on the top shelf. That's a Brother Glenn quote. He likes it simple. Peanut butter on the top shelf.
That's it.
We got some of the dumbest folks that go to our church. I'm teasing Brother Glenn. But you are dumb. Number two. The pardon of faith. The pardon of faith. Not only the penalty of unbelief, but the pardon of faith. Rahab gave a very well-grounded reason for her faith. In Joshua chapter 2, she said in verse 10 and verse 11, she shared it, faith that leads to salvation will always be grounded in the Word of God. Now, I didn't know a whole lot when I got saved as an 11-year-old boy. I couldn't have broken out the Romans Road and explained all that went on. But this one thing I did know, Jesus Christ died for me.
Amen.
I was a sinner deserving of hell, and I put my faith and trust in him. That was it. That's it in a nutshell. Faith that leads to salvation. You know the verse in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what?
Word
of God. What does the Word of God say, though, about the pardon of faith? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. When we talk about our sins being pardoned by faith, there has to be a substitute. Because we're all sinners. Both by nature and by choice. And in order to secure salvation, a substitute was necessary. Let me physically illustrate that. Brother Isaac, come up here for a moment. Grayson, come up here for a moment. And Brian, come up here for a moment. Isaac, come stand right over here. Brian in the middle, and Grayson, stand over there. Isaac, representing God. Brian, representing Jesus. And Grayson, representing a no good, rotten, dirty sinner. I got one out of the three accurate. He wants to get to heaven. But all the way over here is perfection. Perfection to such a degree that we can't even comprehend that kind of perfection. I can't comprehend sinlessness. I just can't. I can't comprehend it. I actually had a person tell me one time that they go days at a time and never sin. I said, you just lied, so you just lost it today. I can't comprehend sinlessness, especially eternity. I can't comprehend sinlessness that's so powerful that it's not even allowed in the presence of God. Like, it's one thing that yesterday at the wedding we were at, there was an open bar. And as I'm sitting there drinking Coke, I'm watching people walk by, their hands are shaking, they're sweating, they got their pitchers of beer. And it disgusts me to no end. A lady on the airplane on the way home ordered a red wine, and I was crawling out of my skin because I'd never had alcohol that close to me being drunk. It was driving me crazy. And I just wanted to pull out a Bible and whack. Oh, I can't stand it. I can't imagine not only me not wanting to sin, but making sure that I have everything around me, not even the presence of sin. That's just beyond my human comprehension. And so here's God. He created him for fellowship. He longs to fellowship with him, us humans. That's why he created us. But he created us with a free will so that we can make our own choices. He doesn't control us. We're not robots. And so he created him with a free will, but he guided him. And he said, everything in the garden, you can eat, it's all yours. There's no garden there, I was just kidding. It's an illustration, man, work with me. He's looking around for food. That's the garden, food, where? But, see that one tree right there? It's not there. See that one tree right there? Don't eat it. But, we made a choice to sin. Because of Adam's sin, now we are all born in sin. And so that relationship